Let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to page 36, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 28. There are three question and answers here in this Lord's Day, 75 through 77. We'll read all three this evening. Page 36. How does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup. With this command, he gave this promise. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and by believing to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so, although he is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit, as members of our body are by one soul. Where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup? In the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This promise is repeated by Paul in these words, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Now let's take our Bibles and turn in them to the New Testament, to John 6, verse 32 and following. This is found on the bottom of page 1134. Sometime earlier, we saw from this passage something related to the Lord's Supper. Now we're going to see it through the perspective of how the Catechism summarizes the Christian doctrine. John 6, beginning at verse 32. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. This far the reading of the Word of God. The congregation, we recently celebrated Christmas Day, and often around that day and that season, families, friends come together. There are many feasts that are held. The table then is often filled with many different foods, good food, tasty food, nourishing food, and we enjoy this feast, don't we? Fellowshipping together over it. Well, it's not only something that we have to do in order to survive, but there is often much joy, much happiness. A Holy Communion is like that. Jesus instituted this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, at the time when a feast of the Old Covenant Church occurred, the Feast of Passover. And over the next three sermons, Lord willing, we'll look into what Christ intends this sacrament to teach us and assure us of how we are to celebrate it. Well, this week we consider that Christ nourishes us. That's the heart. Christ nourishes us. And first we consider this nourishment with earthly food. Now, the way that God created this world, created us in this world, He's instituted the use of means. We've seen that already with sacraments in general, with baptism. That God works all things according to His plan, His counsel. He is God. He works it out perfectly so it matches what He declared in eternity past to be. But mysteriously, wonderfully, God uses means in the working out of this. There are times, children, you've read in the Bible of things we call miracles, where God stretches forth His hand and does something amazing. But most of God's governing, most of God's providential activity, His working out His eternal counsel, His plan, is through His using means. And children, think of your Bible stories. God sustained Moses on Mount Sinai. Do you remember for how long? Well, a couple times He did this, but 40 days and 40 nights. Without food, without water. That was a miracle. But God sustains you and me every day through all the days of our life, perhaps 80, 90 years. And He does that through ordinary means of eating and drinking. And God is just as active in the ordinary means as He is with miracles. God nourishes our earthly life, our temporal life, with food and drink. That which is basic to this nourishment, then, is bread and water. Throughout the history of mankind, as far as we can tell, nourishment has been especially bread and water. Of course, there are vegetables, there's meat, there's milk. It's how God nourishes our earthly life. But we think about it, and there's more to this than mere sustenance, survival. We could get by on scraps, couldn't we? While basic, though, we think, and bread is often enjoyable, but also note that in the Lord's Supper, Jesus did not institute water, but wine. So here is more than bare sustenance, subsistence. For a moderate use of wine, not getting drunk, that's wrong, but a moderate use of wine throughout the Bible, it's related to fellowship, prosperity, blessing, joy. Genesis 14, verse 18, 27, verses 27 through 28, Deuteronomy 7, Deuteronomy 33, Psalm 104. Psalm 104, 14 through 15, says of God that he makes the grass to grow for the livestock, plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread to strengthen man's heart. Bread and wine. Now, thinking about these elements, bread, wine, that God instituted, are we at liberty to substitute something else? May we use pieces of beef or turkey or chocolate cake instead of bread? Could we use orange juice or soda pop instead of wine? Well, as we considered with baptism, so here with the Lord's Supper, we do not substitute soap for water in baptism, and we are not at liberty to change what Christ instituted according to what we might want or like or even think best. Certain foods might be more common in our use for our nourishment, for our times of feasting, than bread and wine. But the sacrament, the value is found as it corresponds to what Christ instituted, not man. And the focus is not on you and me. It's on God's promise. We do things as God has said. Similarly, as the elements of bread and wine are to agree with what Christ instituted, so it is what we do with those elements. We eat and drink them. The children think to eating a meal, supper. Think if you were sitting down at the table, the food was placed on it. Your father, he prays and he gives thanks and he asks for a blessing upon the food. But then, what if only your father and mother ate and drank? You weren't allowed to eat. Would you be nourished by that meal? Would anyone other than your father and mother be nourished by that wonderful meal? No. It's only as we eat and drink we're nourished. So it is with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, take, eat, as it concerns the bread. With regard to the wine and the cup, Jesus said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The sacrament is not rightly celebrated if the bread and the wine remain on the table, apart from believers eating and drinking. The sacrament is not rightly celebrated if believers solely watch someone else partake. The sacrament is rightly celebrated when believers, when we personally eat the broken bread, drink the poured out wine. For our nourishment with earthly food and drink requires that we eat and drink, not only that we see it or see others eat it, drink. God nourishes our earthly life with our eating bread, drinking wine. And God instituted these common elements used for earthly nourishment to point to something else, to point to his nourishing our spiritual life, our souls, with Christ through faith. That's what the Lord's Supper points to, impresses upon us. And we move to that in our second point, seen nourishment, nourishment we see. Now, seen nourishment especially corresponds to the elements of the Lord's Supper, bread and wine. The next point, Lord willing, we'll come to is receiving nourishment. That relates to our actions of eating and drinking. But first, the scene with the elements. Here's what a sacrament is for. It is not reality itself. It points from itself to reality. When we see the bread which has been broken and the cup into which wine is poured, we are to be directed from these earthly elements to that which they're intended to teach us. Christ's body offered for us. Christ's blood poured out for us on the cross. And we must get the earthly elements correct as Christ instituted so that we are directed correctly to what Christ did on the cross. And notice that question 75 of the Catechism does not ask, how does the Lord's Supper make you share in Christ's one sacrifice? But it asks rightly, how does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice? We are to be directed from the bread and the wine to Christ himself. Why is it that Christ's body had to be offered and broken? Why is it that Christ's blood had to be poured out for us on the cross? How is this nourishment? How are we pointed there? Well, Jesus instructs us about that nourishment in what we read from the gospel account of John. Many times in these few verses, Jesus speaks of life. He speaks of living forever. Living forever. There's something that's nourishing. We eat bread and wine in order to sustain our earthly life. But we have to eat and drink throughout our lives. And even if we were to eat and drink perfect amount of food, have the perfect nutritional value in it, there would still come a time when you and I would die. Jesus, though, gives life. That's the nourishment he gives. He raises his people up. He said that a number of times in this passage. Raises his people up on the last day, out of the grave, so that we do live forever. Jesus gives life in the giving of his own body. He said in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He gives himself. But it's also the Father who gives the Son. We read in verse 32, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 57, as the living Father sent me. God the Father sent his only begotten Son so that he would give himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So that he would take upon himself the sin of the world. And thus take upon himself God's wrath against sin in our place as our substitute. Christ's body was broken on Golgotha's cross. His blood was poured out on Golgotha's cross. And the breaking and the pouring out point to what Christ submitted to on the cross especially. Suffering for sin. In his being broken, his being poured out, we see spiritual nourishment. We see then life, righteousness, peace being restored to us. For once God, who is just, has had his justice satisfied by our substitute, there's no more punishment. There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what we feel. It doesn't matter what others say. This is what God says. Since death is God's punishment for sin, Christ's offering his own body broken for us, his own blood poured out for us, is for a complete removal, remission of all our sins. Removes the cause of our death. And so Christ replaces then our death with life. Truly then, as he said, Christ's flesh, which he gave, is for the life of the world. And that's why the broken body and poured out blood of Christ nourishes us. It removes our sin, which is the reason for our death. It gives us life. What better nourishment is there than that which brings everlasting life? There's none better. We see this nourishment of everlasting life in that we see with our eyes the bread of the Lord broken for us, the cup given to us. And so surely as we see these, Christ's body was offered and broken for you, believer. And yet we must be careful here to note it's not merely seen with our earthly eyes, but seen with the eyes of faith. And Jesus said this again throughout this passage of what we read, verse 40. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. There were many people in Jesus' day who heard Jesus with their earthly ears, who saw Jesus with their earthly eyes, who may even have touched Him with their earthly hands and yet did not believe in Him. And so we're not saved. Only those who by God's grace believed in Jesus, entrusted themselves to Him, were saved. And so as surely as we see with our eyes the bread broken, the cup given, so by God's grace we are to believe with our hearts. Christ's body was offered and His blood poured out for us, for all those who trust in Jesus. God forgives your sins. For the sake of Christ's broken body and shed blood, believer, you are forgiven. Christ nourishes us. We see that nourishment. But we do more than merely see it. And we receive it. We receive nourishment. And we move to that in our next point, receiving nourishment. Again, seeing nourishment relates especially to the elements, the bread and the wine. Receiving nourishment relates to our actions of taking, eating, drinking. Both are needed to celebrate the sacrament rightly. Both are needed spiritually to be saved. But what does it mean? Just as we said, what does it mean to see nourishment? What does it mean to receive nourishment spiritually? Well, it was necessary for salvation that Christ die in history, that he really died on Golgotha's cross. He really offered his body to be broken, have his blood poured out as a sacrifice. Those had to happen so that God's justice against sin would be satisfied. Jesus voluntarily submitted to the punishment we deserve for our sins. God simply can't forgive sins. Can only do that if His justice is satisfied. He can't wave His hands and just say you're forgiven. His justice must be satisfied. That's why the Son of God died. It had to happen if any were to be saved. And Christ offering Himself on the tree was that sacrifice that truly and really paid for sins, whereby we are reconciled to God. But that happened 2,000 years ago. And that involved Christ, Christ alone. We were not born yet. He alone was hung on that cross as a substitute, as a sacrifice. Even for those who were alive at that time, it was Jesus who suffered and died. Jesus really paid for sin. But in order for you and me to benefit from His death, we have to somehow be tied to that historical reality for Jesus. Just as again in a meal, the food and drink that we eat and drink, it must not only be set before us and be nourishing, but it must come to us so that we personally benefit from us, from it. So it is spiritually. That's what Jesus speaks of in John 6, that offended His Jewish hearers so much. Not only did they not believe Jesus was sent from heaven by God, they knew His Father, they knew His Mother. They did not believe Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, but especially with that, they were offended that he said they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to have life, that otherwise they had no life in themselves. Now, maybe the Jews did not understand the way Jesus was talking. Perhaps their understanding was as darkened as Nicodemus in John 3, who did not understand what Jesus meant when Christ said, "You all must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus thought he had to be born from his mother again. He didn't understand the heart of Jesus' teaching. So here, perhaps the Jews thought Jesus was instructing them physically to eat his body and physically, carnally, drink his blood to have life. But even if they couldn't get past the earthly image to the spiritual teaching, they rejected Jesus. They rejected his teaching in other ways. Because, as we know from Scripture, many of the Jews thought there was really nothing quite wrong with them. Many thought that because they were born of Abraham's earthly line, they were right with God, ultimately. They did not understand why they needed Jesus in order to live eternally. The Pharisees, again and again, Jesus condemns them. They thought it was their own doing. They weren't that bad. But they were so far from God. They did not grasp they were dead in their sins. And that's what your condition and my condition are by nature. We are all by nature dead in sin. That's what Jesus taught here in John 6. We must receive nourishment from Jesus. We must eat of this bread, who is the bread of God, who is he who comes down from heaven. So as surely as we receive from the hand of him who serves and taste with our mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, so surely Christ nourishes and refreshes our souls with eternal life with his crucified body, his poured out blood. True believers in Jesus are really and truly nourished spiritually by Christ. All that he has done, it's yours. His life is yours. His death is yours. His resurrection is yours. God considers you to have lived a perfectly obedient life, to fulfill your duty of obedience, even to the point God considers you to have paid the price for your sins. God considers you to be holy, oriented toward him wholeheartedly. Believer, God considers that of you, of me. Trust him. What else do we need to obtain life eternal? What else would we need to add to what we have in Christ? Is there any other spiritual nourishment you need? Would angels add anything? Could another human saint, even the Virgin Mary, add anything? Could the Prophet Muhammad? Could some guru in India on some mountain? Anyone? Can you yourself do anything more? No. Jesus is sufficient. No one else, nothing else is needed. Christ nourishes us. And we receive this nourishment by God's grace. Young people, you might be at the time or as you go into college, perhaps after, where you're confronted with other religious claims, you say, why is Christianity true? How? Go back to the basics. What's our need? What's our problem? Who is Jesus? What has he done? All that comes out in the supper where we proclaim the Lord's death till he come, where we are nourished. And this salvation, it's not only for others. It's for you. Rest assured, believer in Jesus, you might not be able to make some great pilgrimage. You might be able to go 40 days on a hunger fast. Believer in Jesus, you are right with God. You have eternal life. What a blessing. There are many who do not realize, though, they are dead. They think they are alive. Like many of the Jews, they think they can point to this or that in their life, their family, their religion. They don't realize they're dead spiritually, that they're under God's judgment because of their sin. The congregation, let that not be said of you. Realize how great your sins and misery are, not just before you were converted, but even how it clings to you still. Realize that apart from Christ, you would be dead, even though you might be living and breathing in an earthly way. That in yourself, apart from Christ, you are separated from God's friendship, His fellowship, under His wrath. And see in your life then, as you give in to sin, as you break God's law, as you don't love Him, as you don't love your neighbor, that is tied to that which is under God's wrath. Repent of your sin. Turn from it, always. Turning unto Christ, always, for righteousness, for forgiveness, for life. As Jesus said, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whosoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Christ truly nourishes you with His crucified body, His shed blood. True Christianity, it is based in something outside of you, but it comes to you. It impacts you. You receive nourishment. True Christianity is brought to you, particularly as we consider in our fourth point, by being nourished with Christ. Nourished with Christ. Now, when we eat a meal, we often have a time of fellowship. That's the ideal. Sometimes in this hurried society, we don't have as much fellowship as we'd like. But we have fellowship. We don't have fellowship with the food. It's simply food. We consume it in order to draw nourishment from it. But it's different spiritually. We have fellowship with one another, yes, but we have fellowship first and foremost with Christ. And Jesus brings out very clearly, we are nourished with Him. It's not simply His bare righteousness, His bare blessedness, as though it could be separated from Him, but with Him. Jesus said in verse 54 and following, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And we are to eat his flesh, drink his blood. Now, let's be clear. We'll get into this more, Lord willing, later, other weeks. We do not eat in a carnal way Christ's flesh or drink in a carnal way Christ's blood. The bread, it's bread. The wine, it's wine. It's through faith we lay hold of Christ. But this faith is not just something merely in the head. This eating Christ's flesh is not something that happens only in the mind. But through the Holy Spirit, we are united more and more to Christ Himself. That's a mystery. It's a mystery. Now, as something real happens when we eat food, so something real happens as the Spirit unites us to Christ. We are united to Him. Now, think of a husband and a wife. They become one flesh in marriage. So by the work of the Spirit, each believer is flesh of Christ's flesh, bone of Christ's bone. The same Spirit that is Christ's Spirit now dwells in our hearts, bringing to us the life that is in Christ, renewing us to be in Christ's image. It's a mystical union, yet a real union. A union formed by the Holy Spirit Himself, who bridges the gap between Christ and heaven and you and me on earth, so that we are united more and more. And therefore, people of God, turn away from the things of this earth that proclaim they satisfy, that they give life. And always turn to Jesus, who alone is the true bread from heaven. As Jesus said, those who ate the manna in the desert, children, what happened to each and every one of them? They died. That manna was even heaven sent. How much more then those who seek fulfillment, seek their life here below? It's not from your job. It's not from your business. It's not from your farm that you find lasting blessedness. It's not from your husband or your wife or your children or a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you find lasting blessedness. It's not from your bank account. It's not from your boat. It's not from your truck. It's not from your video games. It's not from your books that there's lasting benefit. It's certainly not in drugs and alcohol that life is found. None of those things. Even if those things, some of them are good in and of themselves, created by God, like the manna in the wilderness, none of them give life. You and I were dead. Nothing other than Christ gives life and sustains life. Congregation, that's the truth. That's the best anti-drug program of all. Or anti-alcohol program of all. Or anti-unchastity program of all. It's what Christ has done, who He is. Do you believe it? Young people, young adults, you believe it, I trust. Don't forget it. As those temptations come to you, as you're tempted to listen to the world, what it says, to follow the crowd, to do this, to do that, remember and believe the body, the blood of Christ, Christ Himself. We see in how we spend our time. We see in that which makes us upset and angry. We see where we spend our money, where we spend our time, what we really believe, not just what we say we believe. Examine your heart, examine your life to see where, not if, but where you live inconsistently with this profession, to see where you are not walking by faith but by sight. We all have it. We all sin. Each one of us has areas like this. Not one of us has perfect faith. But by God's grace, confess your imperfect faith. Confess your sin and cry out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to cast myself on Christ always. Nourish me with Him. Not with these things that don't satisfy. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper points us to the nourishment we receive. It's not just out there. It's not just for some pious saint. It's something not just known in our minds. It's something God brings to you, believer. It's yours. And He's transforming you. Trust Him. By God's grace, turn away from the sin that so easily ensnares. Constantly cast yourself on Christ for nourishment always. He nourishes. And be blessed. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are dead in ourselves, and the things of this life, even things that You send from heaven like manna, those things, they cannot help. But You have given Christ Your Son. Oh Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. And where there is no faith, create it, Lord. Strengthen our faith, that we would live every day by faith, casting ourselves on Christ and saying no to the things that don't satisfy, to that which is not food, which is not drink. To say yes to Christ and to show it to others and to live it in our lives. Nourish us, O Christ, that we would trust You more, that we would love You, that we would love our neighbor, that we would live as Your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.